Luke 6. When we last studied verse 33, I don't think we did.
It says, Matthew 11, 12, love, true love, happiness, yeah. Infinity.
Yeah, that's not.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's we studied 30.
1 John 4, 6 through 21.
Yeah. 33. Do good. Well, let's just read the whole thing for a minute, just to get us back in it. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear. No. You got to hear that. He's not saying it if you don't hear. And to hear, the word means to hear with understanding. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other also. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. I'll go to one more. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. All right. Do good is agathopoeo. And it's the noun agathos, which we've spent a whole much time on. So let's go to 1 Peter 2. Verse 15, just one verse. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, or honor the ruler. Now one more, let's go to same 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, the evidence that you believe a false gospel is that you think suffering is strange, it shouldn't happen to you. That whatever has happened to you in terms of pain, emotional upset, whatever it is, loss, it's not strange. It's part and parcel of the gospel, but it's never happening to you. You are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. If you ever think anything is going on with you, you've been deceived and you believe a false gospel. Everybody understand that? This is huge. I wish Ronnie were here. I was here. Or we're here. Whatever. One of those two. And this is, it's nice to hear it from a philosophical basis. Oh, this is nice. This is nice philosophy. But when the trial hits you, when the suffering hits you, You think it was strange if you lean on your own arm of understanding to get out of it. Is that clear? What? You're doing it again.
Well, it's so deep, you just, I can't hear it, and then go all the way down. It's like, that's in my belly, and I hear from my belly if I don't hear it all.
Nick, and I talk a lot, and he's never had pain. Nick.
Does he lie much?
Does
he lie much?
No, I mean, not any, he's had, you know, sore tooth or something, but not real pain. No, that's fine. If your cup is easy, drink it with grace. If your cup is difficult, drink it with prayer. But it never has to and never can affect you. You can't give it any, you can't give whatever is going on any breath except to say, I thank you, Father, for I'm a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. And the only reason it's happening is to see if the suffering can take you off the mercy seat. Do you understand? And the way you, I'm not saying you're going to get out of it, you're going to stop suffering, that's God's business, but I promise you, in the trial of faith, which is the more precious than gold, that's where the tire meets the road. And this is all connected, because if you can live this, then the rest of this stuff about how you treat others becomes as natural as breathing. All right.
Yeah, just my own personal experience with that pain is the minute I am in that place, my pain turns to a valuable commodity as opposed to just personal agony, and then I can live with it.
You can repent of it.
I can
repent of wanting to be out of it.
Yeah, but not till I get to that bottom or whatever it is.
Okay, but how many times does it have to hit?
Oh, it's hit several, but I, you know, when it happens, I can see it now.
Good. In First Peter 4, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now what does that mean? On your part he is evil spoken of. It means somebody is saying to you, you're getting what you deserve. Can you hear that?
Their part.
Yeah. And on their part, suffering is always strange. That is the predicate of the prosperity gospel. That's the lie that raises all the money for them. And that's the lie that causes these incredible issues where people stop taking their medicine because they think it would be a breach of faith if they take their medicine. And they die. Sometimes agonizing deaths. Now, I can't even begin to describe even what I see with that, how evil that is. I can't imagine how evil God sees that. It is not just a little difference in gospel. It's a totally strange, evil gospel because it trivializes suffering and says if you are a believer, if you're a true believer, you don't suffer. And so these guys lie through their teeth. One of them says he's never been sick since the day he became a believer. He's never had any problems. Well, I know from informants that he flies to Orlando for pain medicine. He has a chiropractor that travels with him. He's had an operation in Oral Roberts University Hospital, but he used a false name, but on his insurance policy he put the number of the insurance policy, and when we checked it out, it was him getting an operation. At the same time, he's telling everybody he's never been sick. Now that's, can you see the evil of that?
Not to mention mental illness and sickness.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I know a lot about that. No, I'm just kidding. Some people think I know a lot about it. All right. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Judgment must first begin at the house of God. Now, in terms of what we've been, the season we're in, the plagues had to hit you. So the cross then at Passover took care of that which was evil or bad or sin. The counting of the Omer between Passover and Pentecost takes care of coming out of every one of the 49 gates of impurity, and every one of those gates of impurity are something that you think is good. So the cross takes care of the evil. The counting of the Omer and Pentecost take care of what you think is good, so that you become an empty vessel. Amen?
So that it's like the Spirit, not good words here, but the Spirit is delayed in the giving so that the vessel is ready to receive.
Yeah, I mean, what happens then is we return to that state, except you be converted and become as that darling infant, the technon, before self-awareness, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God. And so, we forget. We think we just ate of the tree of evil. We ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that you can't stay in that moment of dependence because you're making your own judgments. The evil one has set himself up in the temple of God, which is you, and you, your mind, is the evil one. And he still remains, judging for yourself what's good and evil. Amen? Is that right? What are you doing? You're pursing your lips. All right. Verse 34. Never mind, we're not there yet. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto the faithful Creator. Now that word well-doing is what says good, is translated as good in Luke. Now what is the well-doing? The well-doing is always acknowledging him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. There is no thing that has ever transpired in you that wasn't him. There's no such thing as a permissive will of God. That's apostasy. It's the determined will of God. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Someone once said this has massive implications. This is the hymn of praise from Isaiah. The song was sung in the temple. In that day, what day? In that day, what day? The day that you know you were in the New Jerusalem. The day that you know you died with him on the cross. The day that you know he is your only self. The day that you know you cannot have any suffering because it's his suffering. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Yahweh, it shouldn't be Jehovah, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Amen. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. But let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. Or the verb tense there is it's in the perfect tense. He will continually deal unjustly. What does it mean to deal unjustly?
Your own strength.
Do you understand? I'm going to talk about con men for a minute, because I know a lot about that. A con man always has a positive mental attitude. He probably goes to Joel Osteen's church. A con man is always convinced that the next deal will bring in the desired. I know a lot about this one. A con man always says, hey, everything is going to be better. Everything is going to be okay. Don't worry. Anybody recognize themselves? Anybody?
I got a PMA, but I come here.
You got PMS, you come here.
What's your point?
That's dealing unjustly. What? That's what we're talking about, is dealing unjustly. Because it says, just so you know what we're doing again, because I have to remind you. Let favor be shown to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he continually deal unjustly. Remember something. The cross isn't about what Adam does. The cross cross, if you've truly picked up the cross, it will be impossible for you to deal unjustly. And then when you do it, then you know you've resurrected the evil one. All right, let's continue.
So when you deal unjustly, you're not dealing from a position of total abandonment. You're in the picture,
Right, because you've got this, you're living not in the, you're living in the land of the uprightness, but your idolatry is your control, and once that idolatry is in existence, then it's not possible to deal justly. You always deal unjustly.
Your own agenda.
Your idolatry deceives others and deceives yourself.
And yeah, that's what con man does. He deceives others. Many times his wife, many times his children. Oh, it'll be all right, honey. This next one, it's just a couple more days and the deal will come through. I was never married, but I used to say that a lot to whoever I was dating. What?
That's just funny. How'd that work out for them?
Not too well.
She worried.
But here's the kicker. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. It will be impossible for him to see through, because he's got his silver, his ideas are his own redemption. You understand that? And so the silver is on the glass, and so everything continues to be a mirror. How does this affect me? So even if it's finished, even if consider the possibility that Jesus was right when he said it's finished, he will continually have ideas. He will continually have plans. He will continually have what's going to be his own redemption. And we'll never say that if he's a believer, unless he's stupid. But he will say Jesus is my only redemption, but he will continually try to gain redemption from success. Got a little bit of understanding? Chess? Got a little bit of understanding? Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. Just like the scriptures are clear. It says the stars have stopped giving their light. What does that mean? Hey, they've stopped giving their light of revelation. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. From before you were a gleam in your father's eye, God was ordaining every aspect, every second, every millisecond of your life. And everything that happened to you and everything that you did was necessary for you to become part of the mystery of the bride, so that you would fit together, being knit together in love. And the knitting needle hurts. Oh no, but I've got these other options. So as long as you have aces in the hole and other options, you haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice. Is that clear? For thou also has wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. What are these lords that have had dominion over you? It's your council of elders and your Jerusalem that now is, your mind. And those council of elders are liars and thieves, con men, murderers. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But now by thy name only will we make mention What does that mean? But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. In other words, those guys have served their purpose. And without that high place activity, you wouldn't have been able to walk across the street. Understand? But now, I pray everyone that has said, Father, I am yours without condition, will never again depend on that high place activity, all those lords that have been guiding you. You will ignore the voices from this point and forevermore. You don't hear and talk to yourself because you have to be talking to one of that board of elders. Is that clear? You repent. Because by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Those guys do not exist. They've served their purpose. Just like the Ark of the Covenant, as they entered Israel, the Promised Land, there were seven mountains and seven tribes. And that ark had to sit on each one of those seven tribes until the temple was dedicated. Once the temple was dedicated, there was no more high place activity. It was forbidden. Before the temple was dedicated, Solomon even lived in the high place. But once the temple is dedicated, then there is only faith. There is nothing else. There's no plan. There's no agenda. Do you understand why so many things that we have tried to do failed? Because we tried to do them. Do you understand why God has, you know, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes, and when you earn with the little you do have, God blows on it? That's the Holy Spirit. But then you are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you say not there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand again, and therefore thou hast not grieved. How many times does it take? What was that?
Dead battery.
You're right.
Yep. Plan B.
More than just one dead battery.
Yep.
By thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. You even forget they even ever existed. Amen? Anybody not understand this? What?
I'm thinking if on this, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. If you don't see it and, let's say, confess it, then you're kind of...
You're a con man.
Conning and trying to pretend, I know other people do that, but I certainly don't because I love God personally. And so you deny the deity.
And you deal unjustly. And you will never see it. You'll never see the majesty.
Yeah. Because those gods to you personally are really great gods, you think. You think they're doing you good.
Well, I've got great ideas.
Yeah. Mine are really special.
And then when I present that idea to somebody, if they laugh at me, then I'm really upset.
Yeah, they are really. I better ignore that person. But I think that's the power of confession. You just stay in your own
little world.
Yeah.
You hear it? You even say you believe it, but you don't, because it's just a philosophy.
Yeah.
That's why we need each other so badly. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody have any other thoughts or responses?
This is perfect for the Omer.
That's
it. Because it's the good things, the good gods that we think are okay to keep, while the other get rid of the bad.
What is this bleeding of the sheep I hear in my ears?
Guides.
I can't do it.
Matt
can do it.
It's almost like those good gods are the gods of immediate gratification.
And they're really just spiritual masturbation.
That's not a word.
Like, why do I say stuff like that?
I like you.
That was good.
You enjoy it.
All right. Please, 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 please. Make sure you have been apprehended by this. The only way you can be apprehended is when you see, if you've seen, you've done these things, Father, forgive me. And remember, the fruit of repentance is always joy. If it's sadness, then you haven't repented. You got it? Take it, big guy.